We're exploring the rise of interscholastic esports, competitive video gamers at the high school level. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Wisconsin, dozens of high schools participate. Currently, J.I. Case High School in Mount Pleasant and Menominee Falls High School top the Division I standings. Do you have esports at your high school? Do you play competitive video games? What do you think of this type of sport for students? It's 800-642-1234. We have a pair of sophomores from Edgewood High School, Benjamin Rowe. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, hi. Carson Pawlowski is here as well. Carson, thank you for being here.
Hello. Thank you for letting me come on.
Sure. We also have Mike Dolly, who is president of the Wisconsin High School Esports Association. And Mike's a business ed teacher at Elkhorn High School. Of course, he leads the Elkhorn Esports team. Mike, welcome to you.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
We'll start us out with your origin story, if you will. It's 2017. There are 29 high schools that are committing themselves to esports. What happened?
We started in like the fall of 2017 with just 7 schools. And as of right now, this season, we have like about 60 to 70 schools competing. We have 120 that have either been active, are active, or are looking to start their own programs as well.
Why are schools around the state attracted to esports? What's drawing them in?
I don't know if there's anything drawing them in. I think the students are already there. They're already competing at home, playing ranked games on their own time. And this is just a way in order to build an organization and structure around it as well and give them that opportunity to not only represent themselves, but their school and community too.
Benjamin, you first. How did you get involved with competitive gaming?
So like anyone, I grew up playing video games with my friends, and when
what?
I joined,
what?
Edgewood
rare, high... sorry.
Thanks. when I joined Edgewood High School, I didn't have a whole lot of friends, but then I met this kid, Carson Pawlowski, and he told me he was doing esports. So I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. I guess I'll do esports too.
Carson, is that a true story?
This is true.
Well, Carson, what interested you in esports? What brought you in?
Well, like Ben, I've been playing video games for most of my life, so I grew up around video games, and I hadn't really gotten into the competitive scene, but I thought that it would be fun to play with friends and try to do something different.
Do you think you relate to your friends on a different level as you play esports with them?
Well, I mean, it's like playing any sport. You get like a sense of camaraderie, if you will, since you're on a team together.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, what about you? You're also a gamer. How long have you been gaming?
I think I built my first PC when I was 10 years old, so about 22, 23 years.
And what did you start out playing?
I started playing Age of Empires. My mom brought home a PC that I was able to go ahead and like kind of put back together and get it to operate. So it was really, it's been my roots.
What are the students playing today in their matches?
Right now, this semester, we have students competing in Overwatch and Super Smash Brothers. And in the spring, we'll be using Rocket League and Smite.
Okay, so like how quickly do video games come in and out? Like how do you keep up with what is fresh, what is current?
We usually try to keep an eye on what's happening within the pro scene and then also look at what colleges are looking for as well. Most of the ones that we offer are what they're almost like blue chip video games. They've been around for a while. They've been established. And there are a lot of up and coming ones that we try to keep our eye on to see how they develop, and what the demand is for those games as well. And we also have to make sure that we're approving titles that are appropriate to be within our schools too.
We're talking with Mike Dolly, who's president of the Wisconsin High School Esports Association. Benjamin Rowe and Carson Pawlowski are sophomores from Edgewood High School, play esports. You can join in. Is your student in esports in high school? How is it going? And what is their team like? Join in at 800-642-1234. So, Benjamin, what happens when Fortnite and League of Legends becomes like super old school, kind of retro, like what Pac-Man is to me, or, you know, Space Invaders? Now, no, those are video games. We had Atari in my age. What happens when these games age out?
Well, what happened when these games age out? Well, I guess for the esports in high school, to keep the esports alive in high school, the pro esports would still have to be alive as well. So it's not necessarily if the game dies out, but more if the entire competitive aspect of it dies out.
Carson, you know, how do you come to appreciate the complexity of a video game? What is that like for you?
Well, I mean, learning any game, it's very different because you get to learn a lot more things that you don't really need to learn in sports. And I think that's a lot of the fun of it because it's a completely new experience.
What is the difference between playing on the sports field versus playing in esports? You know, can you give us a little bit more there on where the differences are?
Well, like, playing in sports mainly is a test of physical strength along with actual, like, strategy, while playing online is not really about physical strength and more all about strategy and what you do.
Strategy, what you do, but I would imagine also hand-eye coordination.
And mechanical skill is really necessary.
Yeah, you have to be really, really quick. Benjamin, do you find that you have to practice a lot in order to get good?
Not really. So I'll play the game a lot with my friends, and the more that I play, I gain experience.
Okay, yeah. Mike, what is the commitment at the high school level for students to be on your team? What do they have to be committed to?
We usually host on Mondays like a practice for our Smash players. We run a little tournament, and usually the top five will represent varsity that week, and then the other five or so will represent our JV team on Thursday. And then same thing on Tuesday, our Overwatch team practices, and then they have a match on Wednesday. So, I mean, it's anywhere between, I would probably say about a 5-hour commitment. But then I do want to say too, on Fridays, we have fun. It's just kind of a casual gaming hangout, show up if you want to, and we honor the importance of play. So
what happens when the internet goes out or your internet is slow? That seems like a serious disadvantage.
That is a huge disadvantage right now. And COVID has really shined light of the technological inequalities that we have in this state, especially with our students that are trying to compete remotely now and can't actually enter into the school building. We're learning and seeing just how limited internet some of our students across the state have. And that definitely throws a wrench in competing. So it's incredible how important school is, not just in learning, but the facilities that are there for our students to take advantage of.
Because in order to create an equal playing field, I would assume everyone's platform has to be pretty even consistent across the board.
Yeah, not necessarily on PC. As long as you're able to run a lot of these titles, you can still compete at a relatively high level. But okay, if you're competing at home, you know, a solid internet connection, like I myself am at 100 megabytes per second, but I know I have students in Elkhorn that are maybe lucky to get 1 megabyte per second. And so they couldn't even jump on an audio call like this, let alone compete at the highest level.
We have the head of the Wisconsin High School Esports Association, Mike Dolly, and we're looking at interscholastic esports with sophomores Carson Pulowski and Benjamin Rowe from Edgewood High School. You can join in. Do your kids play video games? Which ones? Mine are playing more in the pandemic. Is that true for you? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Competitive video games at the high school level. We're tracing the rise of esports here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Esports coaches see potential in uniting students from different backgrounds, a new age extension, if you will, of the classroom and extracurriculars, especially amid COVID. Dozens of high school teams in Wisconsin participate in matches during the academic year. And step back, big picture, esports are a huge industry worldwide with investment from venture capitalists and private equity firms. What do you think of high schoolers getting into this gaming? Should there be a scholarship program? Do you follow pro gamers around the world? 800-642-1234 to join in. Mike Dolly leads the Wisconsin High School Esports Association and coaches the Elkhorn team. Benjamin Rowe and Carson Pulowski are on Edgewood's team. They stay with us. So, Benjamin, what happens at a match? Can you kind of walk us through what a match is like?
Walk us through with a match. So we play on Overwatch. Everyone hops into a call, kind of like this, and that's how we communicate with each other. And we play four rounds, I think, in Overwatch, and whoever has the most wins by the end of it ends up taking the game.
Carson, how long do these matches go?
Well, I mean, it's a set out of five, so it depends on like the layout. It could be we could win three and then they win two, and it's gonna be a little longer since we play every possible game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say a match lasts no more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half at max.
Carson, what skills make someone a great gamer?
Well, team communication is a big one, which should be a reason why people should get interested in esports, since it helps working with people a lot better, especially team games. And ROM mechanical skill, aka the aiming part, that one is very, very important for certain playstyles.
Yeah, yeah. What do you see, Mike Dolly, in these students as they, come into your program and as they go through esports? How do they evolve? How do they develop?
I think there's a huge maturity growth. A lot of incoming freshmen, by the time that they're seniors, they have the whole regiment down. They're usually helping the younger students adapt to the play styles as well. We have a lot of students that are stepping into leadership roles within their programs. We have two case in points right here joining me at 6:20 in the morning. but so it's really incredible to see how much some of them are developing, not just within the game, but what they're doing with this as well. Some of them are jumping into broadcasting, graphic design, statistics. So there's a lot of other avenues that these students are finding that they can use esports as kind of the medium to follow.
You mentioned college earlier. What is esports like at the college level?
It's growing rapidly, just as fast as I would say the high school level. Here in Wisconsin, some of our notable programs are at Carroll University, Lakeland University, Marquette University, and a handful of others. And it's just continuing to grow. The whole UW system, almost every school, if I'm not mistaken, has at least a club team. And we're starting to see more and more students receiving actual scholarships in order to go compete at the collegiate level, too.
So there are even scholarships out there for students who want to continue on.
Yeah, I have two former students that are competing, one at Drury University and the other one at Culver Stockton College. And most esports scholarships range between like 5,000 and 7,000, but some of the very highly competitive programs are offering up to 70%. One or two colleges that I know of offer full rides actually right now.
Wow. Mike Dolly, president of the Wisconsin High School Esports Association. We also have Benjamin Rowe and Carson Pulowski, who are sophomores from Edgewood High School and play on their team. What do you want to know about esports? Do you have a student who is into video games? Are you trying to see if your high school is going to start an esports program? Join in at 800-642-1234. We heard from Jeremy in Racine, called in, couldn't stay with us. Jeremy says gaming can be expensive, Mike. How can kids compete and take part if they can't afford an expensive gaming computer?
So, completely agree, Jeremy. That's one reason why we try to leverage the school as much as possible. A lot of the equipment that we already have there can be multi-purposed. for example, when I was teaching at Arrowhead, we used my normal computer lab that I taught web design and graphic design in, and we were able to install those games by working with our IT department. And so it didn't matter if students had the equipment at home, they could still play at school. And we even have some schools that provide purchased copies of the titles for students to play who may not be able to afford those. So again, leveraging schools and the existing equipment that we have really can help keep costs low.
Benjamin, did you find that there was, kind of that level of commitment with, you know, money in order to get the gaming system that you wanted in order to compete?
So I saved up throughout my life. I saved up a lot of money. I remember thinking, what am I saving up this money for? So I have quite a bit of Benjamins in my pocket, and I thought, oh, I guess I can use this to build a computer. And you can build a computer for pretty cheap compared to like a super expensive laptop. But to get a super fancy computer definitely costs a lot of money.
Carson, how about you? Have you had to save up in order to be able to play with the equipment you want?
I picked up my first job to get a computer, actually. Though, like, through the esports, I was able to meet someone who can actually help me build a PC for relatively cheap. But no doubt about it, they are expensive.
Carson, what about you? Are you thinking about continuing esports with an eye on college and perhaps taking this into college?
That's a really good question. Esports in college is something that I have to look into more, but I think that there is a lot of opportunity there. I think that's just a matter of, can I get good enough to do that?
Benjamin, how about you? Are you trying to stay with us for a longer term and perhaps be able to be a college player?
It's not the first thing on my mind when I'm choosing colleges and applying, but I think if my college had an esports team, I would definitely join it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mike, you know, so many schools went virtual with the pandemic. What's been different about how you set up the season and how you run matches compared to other seasons in the past?
It really hasn't changed too much because there is no travel involved in this. Students can compete just from their school or from their house right now. But I will say, again, the biggest thing is just the internet inequality that we're having. It is requiring a lot of patience and a lot of flexibility on our schools because some of us maybe get 24-hour notice before all of a sudden we're switching to virtual. And we have to understand that esports is not a top priority when we're switching to a virtual setting, and that we just have to be patient and understanding and as flexible as possible in this environment.
Benjamin, how do you feel this season has gone for your team?
I feel like the season has gone very well for our team. So far, the Edgewood Elite have gone undefeated this season.
Cool. That's great. So where are you in the season exactly?
We're kind of in the middle. I'm pretty sure in the next couple of weeks, our regular season will be over. And then I think the playoff or the state, something like that, will start.
Okay. And Carson, how about you? How's the season going?
Well, it's been really fun. The online factors made it a little annoying for people to connect to internet. And, you know, in-person chatting with people is a little disappointing that we can't do that anymore. But overall, the season's been going really well.
Mike, how do you build that excitement leading up to finding the overall champion?
We utilize Discord. We have in our server, we have like 1,100 students and coaches, and it's really just kind of built a community in there. So there's a lot of camaraderie. There's sometimes a little bit of, you know, smack talking going down, but it's all in good fun. So I think it's just really about building that commitment. And I will say that I'm upset that we won't be able to host a physical state tournament, because last year at Madison College, seeing about 200 student competitors decked out in jerseys in one room waiting for their opportunity was really cool to see. This year we'll pretty much just leverage streaming every single game that we can to Twitch so that students and communities can support their team throughout playoffs and at the state championship.
Well, Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Carson and Benjamin, all the best to you. Thanks for being here and getting up early.
Of course.
Thank you for having me on the show. And hi, Grandma. I love you.
Oh, that's fabulous. Carson Pulowski and Benjamin Rowe are sophomores on the Edgewood High School esports team. Mike Dolly, president of the Wisconsin High School Esports Association, coach of the Elkhorn team. Coming up, we talk with more players and a coach from the Racine Engineering Arts and Leadership School, the real school like Edgewood, one of the founding schools in the State High School Esports Association. What do you think of esports? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us, Grandma, on the Ideas Network. Esports is competitive level video games. We're exploring high school esports here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just like traditional student athletes, coaches say these players are developing teamwork and communication skills, time management skills, eye-hand coordination, critical thinking. The list goes on. Have you been gaming for years? Is your teen on a high school team? What do you want to know about matches and the games offered? It's 800-642-1234. The Racine Engineering Arts and Leadership School, Real School, currently leads Division III in the varsity standings. And we have Christina Wagner with us, general manager and an educator at Real School. Christina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
All right. Well, so tell us about your role as general manager. What do you do with facilitating esports at your school?
Well, a lot of it is making sure we have a team to play, especially in this virtual setting. Right now, we're currently 100% remote. So we are relying on students who have the technology at home and the availability to be able to play at home. Normally, pandemic aside, we would go to a gaming lounge that has all the fancy gaming equipment so that they wouldn't have to purchase it. So our team is a little bit more limited this year than last year.
What do you like about esports, Christina? What attracted you to it?
So my fiance plays esports on the side. And so it's been 7 years that I was introduced to League of Legends, which is the game that I currently play.
If fiance plays it, that means you play it too as a supportive partner.
Yes. So that I ended up doing that instead of, you know, being a grump and complaining about it, I decided to join in. It's been 7 years and I haven't looked back. So when I found out that we had the availability to teach the kids this game, I jumped at it. I was like, this is going to be great because it pulls in the non-traditional athletes. The kids who are more, you know, about computers, who would like to learn more about coding, you know, we pull in a very different kind of student, and a student who typically gets forgotten in the world of athletics. I think that this is a great way for them to not only communicate and learn how to work as a team, but also be able to play a game that they really enjoy.
So if we haven't played League of Legends before, can you kind of give us the premise, what the mission is, what it's built on?
Sure. You have two bases, basically, and there are three main kind of highways, I guess you could say, to get to each base, and then two jungles in between. So you have five players, and your main goal is to knock every tower down of the other opponents that's in that highway and get to the base and take their base. And so it involves a lot of like close contact battles and group efforts in order to beat players that are a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger in terms of their abilities. And it's all a little bit more magic based mm-hmm. in terms of their abilities as well.
How do you go about choosing which games will be played for these matches at the high school level? Because I would also imagine that the content of the game itself comes into play.
Yes. So we look for games that are not gore based. They're not as realistic. So the characters that you would see are more of this fantasy type, what some people would think of as anime, but not really. It's like a big troll with, you know, a teddy bear or, you know, so it's a huge mix. And it's the same for most of the other games. We play Smash Brothers, which is Mario, Luigi, and you'll see Donkey Kong in there as well, and a bunch of other characters. And then for Overwatch, we have much more realistic-like characters in terms of how they move, mm-hmm. But they're still based on fictional representations of someone going into battle. So it's not, you won't see a realistic face on many of them.
Do students create an alias at all? How much do they become of the game?
They become their alias. I mean, it becomes a part of them. Uh-huh. So for the most part, you keep your same name, for many years, honestly. Huh. There are a lot of people who in the gaming world have had their names for many years. So like one very famous person is Asmongold, who streams on Twitch, and he has had his name since World of Warcraft came out back when I was in high school. So that was in like 2000. So he's had that name for over 20 years. You know, so there are some people who really take it and it becomes their whole life. So
can I ask you about your name that you chose?
Yeah, mine is based on my middle name is Leticia, so I have Letty Luna, and that is that's a majority of my gamer tag.
I love it. Yeah, nice alliteration.
Yeah. So since 2013, I've had that gamer tag.
You know, how do you see your students change through the process of participating in esports? Do they come out of their shell a bit?
Oh, absolutely. I had students who not only did I not really know because I work with middle school students during the day, but then I had these high school students who are like, you know, they were silent. I mean, completely mute at first. And I'm like, okay, I need everyone to get into teams. Here's how I need you to split up. And it's like the mumbles. And I'm like, okay. And now, like, I can't talk over them even because it's just, they are so loud. And, you know, it's shown me that these kids, like, they might not have had a lot of, you know, socialization availability at school because they just didn't connect with anyone. But here in esports, they made that connection. And, you know, I see them having conversations until 2-3 in the morning sometimes on our communication platform called Discord. But it's opened their world up completely.
We're talking with educator Christina Wagner from The Real School. She's the esports GM there, and we're looking at the impact of esports on the high school level. You can join in. Do you play video games? What was the first game you ever played? When did you start playing video games? And maybe your child is into them and you want to see if your high school is involved. Join in at 800-642-1234. Christina, we were talking earlier with Mike Dolly there, who said, you know, trying to make sure that everyone has the ability to equally play, and certainly internet connection, internet speed is an issue. Are you finding that as well?
Yeah, you know, I think that because of the large amount of remote learning, but also working from home, that has occurred. I think the whole grid of the internet and the internet availability has changed in terms of how they need to kind of amp up their speed to be able to keep up with the amount of people who are online right now. And we do get some lag and some throttling, you know, where we might not be, we might not have the best connection, but I think everyone in the league is aware of that when we're playing, and we take that into account. So, you know, we're flexible and adaptive to that.
So Twitch is a live streaming platform for gamers. How do esports at the high school level use Twitch?
So we have our own Twitch stream.
Okay.
We created it last year. This year we've gone through kind of a revisioning program in terms of our logo and how, you know, our online presence. And so we're really connecting more with Twitch. We stream almost every single Overwatch and League of Legends game that we play so that not only our friends and family can watch, but also our administrators and teachers from the school tune in. So it really allows people to connect with us as gamers. And the teachers, we recently had homecoming and we hosted a virtual homecoming. So our Overwatch team played a local high school, and it was all on stream. So it was all on Twitch, and they were able to go ahead and watch it from wherever they were. So we had the whole school tuning in to watch our virtual homecoming, you know, and that was a huge plus because it showcased my kids, but it also allowed us to still celebrate and have that competitive type of homecoming that you normally would have, you know, in a non-pandemic situation.
Wow. It just shows you how much our world has changed, doesn't it? I mean, and so with streaming, do you ever have the kids go back and review or watch what they've done and the choices they've made in a game?
Absolutely. That typically takes place right after the game is done. So we'll end the stream and we talk for between 30 to 40 minutes about, you know, gameplay and what we could have done, what we could have done better. Sometimes, you know, we'll talk about that during the match on our private chat to say, okay, next time, you know, we're going to handle it this way. I think it's really important. And the kids have learned that the analytics portion of esports is actually more important when it comes to competing in a league because we're able to go and watch other teams and how they play. And mm-hmm. so we need to adapt our gameplay to that style so that we can win.
We're talking with educator Christina Wagner, who is general manager at Racine Engineering Arts and Leadership School, the real school, and we're looking at esports. Are you someone or someone you know into esports? How did they get involved? Do you watch your favorite gamers on Twitch? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Christina Wagner here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation on interscholastic esports. The Wisconsin High School Esports Association started with a handful of team members in 2017. We're talking with the Real School team's general manager, Christina Wagner, is with us now. Let's bring in James joining us from Racine. Hi, James. What would you like to add?
Oh, Christina Wagner is being modest in her importance in the esports program that we're seeing unified. I just know that Christina, as an educator, has made some amazing connections. And in fact, it was her and her students who did an awesome job on convincing the Gateway Technical College to go into esports on their own and giving kids a vision of where they could take their esports, but not just to be game players, because we're not a pipeline to the pros, but to just be these amazing contributors to our community and to further their education as well. Christina's being modest. She's an amazing educator.
Oh, I love it, James. Christina, what would you like to say there?
Thank you. Well, I mean, it wouldn't have been possible without James, honestly. Like he gave our district the ability to compete in this league and opened up the world for Racine, for sure.
Well, this idea that James says, you know, we're not a pipeline to the pros, but, you know, how do you see students taking esports with them beyond high school?
I think it's a way for them to continue to be socially relevant in esports, especially, and in that realm, while they're pursuing their career. I think that in the future, it's going to help them a lot with working with teams and in that group setting, and especially problem solving. You know, we get into some conundrums during games where you really have to look at where the game is going, where it could go if we do something wrong, and they have to make a decision in a split second of what to do. So really enhances their ability to think on the spot and very quickly.
James, how do you, if I could ask you, James, how do you see esports fitting into what students need to develop and learn in high school?
Well, in a lot of ways, what we're doing is, number one, we're redefining what athletic culture looks like. You know, in this country, athletic culture has had a very, you know, gender-based, ability-based thing. And I think it's letting kids see that competition can take in all kinds of forms. Even yesterday, the Olympics said they're going to bring in breakdancing in 2024 as a form of competition. So I think it's really helping for us as the world to see that competition can take all kinds of forms. The medium is different. But the other thing, too, is that we're providing these children really an opportunity to play. I mean, you know, we haven't, especially at the high school level, people seem to think that, oh, well, it's all academics. But, you know, just the ability to play for these kids, especially now when we're facing this pandemic, we're seeing just how important it is for us to have opportunities to play. And I have to say, too, that the public library in Racine has been a tremendous help in providing equipment to some of our kids who maybe don't have it right now. And so we work very, very hard to make sure that we're trying not to leave anybody out. We know it's not perfect, but in this time, the Racine Public Library has been a huge help in getting our kids set up to play.
Oh, James, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Christina, is this a really important outlet right now for students to have this ability to be connected with their fellow classmates through esports?
Absolutely. Normally, they would see each other in the gaming lounge. In the gaming lounge, it's typically our high school and the larger high schools, including Walden, Case, Horlick, and Park. And, you know, on average, we have about 100 kids down there total from all the schools. And so they get to know each other. They hang out afterwards. It's become a huge community. And so having them online and having an online component to this community using Discord has been amazing for the kids. We have a support channel on there, and you know, if we have kids who are struggling, maybe, or struggling just with the fact that they can't be in school and see their teachers, and it's just a little bit different in terms of the delivery, they have somewhere to go. And their fellow students have been absolutely amazing in terms of reciprocating and giving out any information in terms of like, hey, like, let's meet up, or, you know, let's go for a walk, and they'll socially distance and go for a walk, or they'll, you know, so they're really connecting on a different level.
Being good friends. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And they might not have been, they might not have even known each other. And so this allows them to not just have their small group of team friends, but also the larger community of Racine Unified. We do consider us just one big family. So
we're talking with educator Christina Wagner from The Real School. We're looking at what esports is in Wisconsin and how it has come together since 2017. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Christina, your school, The Real School, emphasizes science, technology, engineering, art, math. How does that all fit into competitive gaming, into the STEAM model?
you know, I think that we are focusing on the analytics portion. So a part of Steam and a part of what we do is we're focusing, because we work with Gateway, and the students have a whole section of analytics where they're actually looking at real-time analytics from a company, a factory, and how to more efficiently run machines. And so just like any other analytics that you would go through and data that you would pile through, we look at our data and we show the kids how to look at this. Okay, you have X number of, you know, kills, deaths, and assists. How can we increase that so that we have, you know, that we score more points as a team and, you know, personal achievement points in one of our games, and also have a competitive edge that allows us to win the game.
So there's real data analysis going on here.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. Yeah.
Yeah, and do the students respond to that? Because the fun part, I would assume, is actually getting into the game and just playing.
Yeah, the fun part is playing, but the students realize that in a competitive nature world like we're in, we need to have the data to go with it. So, you know, we can tell right away when the game is going south for us, and we need to turn it around very quickly. And it's split decision making, like split second decision making, in terms of, okay, I'm going to switch to a different type of support character to be able to really help my teammates on a better front in this game. So looking at the way that the characters play is a different thing too for them. They need to learn all about the characters that they're playing and that they have the ability to play, to say, okay, if I'm in this kind of situation and I need, you know, more barriers to put up, but barriers that move, they need to have in their arsenal, you know, I can choose from these three characters and this one will be the best one in this situation.
Yeah,
so it really is about looking at the data. Yeah, and strategy.
So where do you see esports headed in Wisconsin?
I think that, you know, with the way that Mike Dolly is growing the program, that it will slowly be taking, well, not slowly, we hope that it will be taking over Wisconsin in a larger fashion. You know, we've grown exponentially in the last year, which is super exciting to watch. And we hope to grow even more next year. I think that now, you know, if we continue to go virtual, if is a big word right now, but, you know, I think that more schools would be more apt to having a virtual esports team, because it allows the students to, again, connect with the community from home, be that socially distant student that they need them to be, but also engage in some fun STEM-based.
Well, Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's educator Christina Wagner from the Real School team. She's general manager. Earlier, we heard from Edgewood players Carson Pulowski and Benjamin Rowe, and Mike Dolly, the president of the State High School Esports Association. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.